Okay, thanks for joining us, everybody. How you doing, Nick?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Not too bad. How's your studying been going lately?
Yeah, it's been going well. I've made an effort recently to get on top of my Anki decks. I have several Anki decks, and they've been building up to the point where I had over 1,000 reviews to do. And I did it in 5-minute time box chunks. I downloaded a program. I'm not sure if you can get it for Mac, but on Windows, called Focus Booster. Focus Booster. And then I set that. It's normally its default setting is 25 minutes. I set it to 5, and then with just a minute break. And in that minute, I can normally stare off into space or just in queue the next song into Winamp or whatever I'm doing. And then yeah, I've just been studying for 5 minutes, and it's like a race. I give myself 5 minutes, and I think, how many Anki reviews can I do in the next 5 minutes? And then I don't know. It just seems it's much more bearable when you give yourself tiny little breaks. Have you ever tried that method before?
Yeah, actually, I have. I think it's kind of like exercise, like when you're doing like reps, like you might do like 3 sets of 10 or whatever, and rest like 30 seconds or a minute or 2 minutes between each set. I kind of think of it like that.
That's a good way to think of it. Yeah.
Just a question. Do you snack at all, like during those breaks? Like, do you have like some dark chocolate or anything to kind of keep you going? Keep you focused.
No, I do other things to keep me focused. I might have a pick-me-up song, or if I'm just getting sick of it, or I might have if I'm getting sick of it being too long. Even 5 minutes seems too long sometimes, and it gets to a minute left, and I think, oh, I've got another minute to go. That normally doesn't happen, but if it does, I'll change it, say, to 4 minutes, or even to 3 minutes, 2 minutes. I don't think I've gone down to 1 minute yet. 1 minute on, 1 minute off. But I've gone down to 3 minutes before, and that's really great. That's a good amount. 3 minutes is a good amount. It really feels like yeah, these bite-sized little chunks, and I kind of read slowly, so I might only get through, say, five or six or seven cards or something. So yeah, it's like it feels nice to do it in these little chunks. So then, hey, I've got like a whole other minute now just to relax and go pour a drink or go and get started on a coffee or something.
Sweet. What's the content on your cards or your decks? Like, is it kanji? Is it vocabulary? Is it expressions or?
The cards that I have been doing recently is from a deck I've called 10,000 Sentences, which just is me trying to get to 10,000. It's only up to about 3,000 or so at the moment, which makes it even more unbelievable that I have 1,000 backed up. I have a whole third of the cards backed up, and then it's just sentences. So it's just sentences from books. Sentences from movies I've watched, sentences from anime, or anything else I've encountered along the way. It could even just be sometimes when I've asked someone, "Oh, how do you say this in Japanese?" And then they tell me, and then I, kind of scribble it down on a piece of paper and later put it into this deck. Yeah.
Yeah, how much time do you dedicate to Anki a day, like on average?
On working days, I don't use any Anki at all, but on weekends, I use Anki. I actually quite like Anki, strangely. I think because I made all the cards, I have a certain fondness for them, although I delete them mercilessly sometimes. But I have a fondness for them, and to me, it feels like a. How to sort of describe it? Almost like I'm reading. It's like a trip down memory lane, a mixture between a trip down memory lane and it being some sort of weird, strange book, strange abstract book, where one sentence it will be talking about like a kappa, from a book I read about kappas, and then the next sentence it will be talking about like Remy from like Remy no Oishi Restaurant, and then like in the next card it will be talking about, say, some other anime or something like that that I'd watched. And so it's just Yeah, it's kind of, also, I normally only put the cards in if I like the sentence, or they think I think they're valuable, or I think they're funny, or I think they like they're, you know, they're just interesting to me in some way. So it's sort of, it's not too bad at all. I don't have any boring sentences. I even if the words seem useful, I just cut them if they're boring. If I have to look at them twice, I normally just cut them.
I see.
Mm.
I use Anki a lot myself too. I absolutely love Anki. I think it's probably my favorite tool of study. A lot of people complain about it though. At the beginning, they say it has like a really harsh learning curve. I didn't really have that much trouble with it myself, and I made all of my flashcards myself. Like I did all of the input myself, and I never really had any trouble with getting used to it or figuring out how to use it. How about when you first started using it? Did you have any trouble?
I think it was a lot uglier back a few years ago, and it is a fairly, it's a remarkable program. I think if you're someone who's really familiar with computers. And then I think if you're somebody who isn't, yeah, I tend to agree with the other people. I tend to think it's not hard at all to make a card, but it is hard to make a specific card, like a card which might have audio, or it seemed to be at least, or a card that could have, let's say, pictures or things like that. But I think those sorts of things are a thing of the past. I mean, it's very easy to make cards now. I think maybe people might just be complaining about it having a steep learning curve because it's just so, there's nothing else to it except for the it's sort of flashcards, you know, like it's just it's all dependent essentially on how you use it and how often you use it. It's not gonna present itself in a pretty way or an appealing way with things that can distract you. It's just really bare bones as far as, it's kind of ugly. Well, you know, it's kind of ugly, and then it just, but it's well, extremely powerful.
The 2.0 version looks a lot better than the earlier versions.
It does, yeah.
Do you remember which version you started with?
I started with 1, and, yeah, I don't remember the exact build, but I'm not sure actually how long it had been out for, but I remember there was a distinct lack of particular things. It was certainly much uglier in the browser. The browser was certainly a lot uglier, and it was harder to go through, harder to navigate, I mean. And there were some other things like that, other sort of cosmetic issues. But I don't know, it never bothered me. It never bothered me that it was ugly or anything. I just, you know, it was just, I just kept on studying. Yeah, I don't know, like I guess you have to sort of make your own fun with Anki, because it's so sort of like a pure, it's this really sort of pure, refined form of revision and study. So it can it really uses a lot of your brain. And so, I don't know, I just, sometimes it can give you like a, you know, it can just make you, give you like a headache sort of thing, you know, how intense it can be sometimes. It's not advisable to use it for hours upon hours upon hours upon hours without break. I don't know. I couldn't do it. How about you?
I have quite a few times, yeah. Actually. Mainly with input, though, not so much studying. I remember when I was making my own Heisig, remembering the kanji 1. I was creating my own mnemonics, and I created my own mnemonics. It took a little bit over a year, but I remember when I was making that, I was spending hours and hours a day just inputting all kinds of kanji. Initially, actually, I started making like physical, like real flashcards, like using paper and a pen. And then after about like 200 or so, I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to use Anki. Because originally I wanted to get away from the computer because I was using the computer so much already, and I thought if I would start using Anki, I would probably be using the computer even more. But I just decided that it's a lot more efficient to use Anki, and it syncs across all kinds of devices. I don't have to carry all kinds of stuff around with me. I could do it on a smartphone. So I just decided that Anki would be a lot better, but I spent a lot of time on the computer when I was making the decks. But it's a lot more efficient. Like, if you're just using flashcards, like ones that you made yourself, like real physical flashcards, you don't have the algorithm. You don't know which ones you're good at and bad at. Anki does all that for you, so I think that's the main benefit of Anki. Like, it keeps track of what you're good at and what you're bad at. So.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's like, sometimes there's these programs that come along and within a week of using them, you can barely imagine your life before using them, and
Right.
you can barely imagine how you were possibly studying before it came along. Well, I think Anki, between, say, like Anki and maybe Evernote and a few other programs like that, that has happened to me, where I can't even imagine how did I used to keep notes around without Evernote? I don't. Oh, it was everything bookmarked all the time. I mean, I can barely remember. Then how was I remembering words and sentences? And how was I keeping on top of kanji and things? I mean, how was I doing that in the past? And the sad thing is, I just probably wasn't, right?
Yeah, it's just wonderful. Like, there's it's so easy now to get this information into your head. There are so many ways. Like, it's probably not too good that you could experience like information overload, but it's a lot more efficient than just cramming or like studying any other way. It's just it's really efficient studying.
Super efficient. And some people say that they can look through cards really, really quickly. That they sort of just go click, 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 click. I mean, like, they can sort of just almost spot read them and then go on. And I'm nowhere near that level yet, so it normally takes me quite a lot longer than. But I have noticed that over the course of, say, a year of using kanji almost every day, I mean, my reading speed and the comprehension speed of the cards and everything has just increased dramatically.
Yeah, it's the way to go. It'd be really good if Japanese kids use this, like at school, don't you think?
It might be. I mean, yeah, the.
Because
It's totally.
they're doing it by like rote memorization, but in a completely different way. They're just like writing it over, like they're writing it like 50 times. But if they were using like an Anki deck, I think in terms of recognition, they would catch it a lot quicker.
I think so too. Yeah. The well, as for Anki or Japanese, what do you think of the sort of card and reverse side of the card? Do you have any rules that you use for that? I mean, for example, I make it a rule, if possible, to not include any English on either of the sides of the card. Certainly not on the front side. Certainly not on the side which I'll be presented with first. But then other people sometimes they like to go from English to Japanese, and then they like to go from Japanese to English so that they can sort of remember it in both directions. I always tend to just go always from Japanese to normally Japanese without any English at all, except for if I can't be bothered writing the definition, or if the definition is hard to understand but the word is easy to understand, which is actually that sometimes happens.
Yeah, I could go either way. Like, right now I'm doing a lot of kind of advanced vocab, and I'm putting the vocab in, the definition, I'm putting the definitions in English. Like I have like a kanji, it could be like a three kanji idiom or a four kanji idiom, and I'll just put the expression in English. If the definition in the textbook that I'm using, if they had it in Japanese, I would just copy it in Japanese, but the definitions are in English. So usually what I try to do is like I'm training for recognition, so the kanji will pop up and then I'll test myself like how to read it and then what the meaning of it is, and then I'll try and make it into a sentence. And then I'll hit the space bar to check and see if my definition was right. 'Cause rather than like composing Or like making a sentence in Japanese with a word that I'm not completely familiar with, I would rather just keep it in English. 'Cause I'd rather do it that way than like, set up a bad habit of using the word the wrong way. Like I'm just training for recognition, and hopefully I'll hear some Japanese people use this word, or I'll see it in a book, and then once I notice the pattern that they're using, I'll try and copy that. Like I try not to be creative, like using the language in my own way. Like I try and always copy the natives. So I usually wouldn't put a definition in myself unless I'm copying it from a textbook in Japanese.
So in a way, Anki, for you, as far as these vocabulary words are concerned, it's almost like kind of this it's flagging words in your mind. So you see this word, and then you're seeing this word, as often as you're reviewing it every day or every however often you do Anki the, and then you have the new word, the new vocabulary in mind, and then so you're listening along to and talking with Japanese people, and hey, suddenly that word appears, and your ears prick up because, hey, this is that word that I've flagged, that's been flagged in my mind as a new word that I'm learning. And then you'll carefully listen to the sentence that the Japanese person will say, and then it'll clue you in into a sort of a way to use it.
Yeah, that's exactly how I go.
Yeah. See, I don't have any vocabulary. I have some specific decks for very specific purposes. So I have a deck I use specifically for onomatopoeia, for example.
That's a good idea. I'd like to see that
Yeah.
deck sometime.
Yeah, well, and that's the only deck I use that has Japanese on one side and then has English, only English on the other side, and I create a word like an English story based off the sounds, the onomatopoeia sounds normally since they repeat. So if it's like well, it might be an example like I don't know, let's like, what can you give me an example of
Onomatopoeia?
onomatopoeia? Yeah, of
How about like doki doki suru?
Doki Doki. I actually already knew the meaning of, so I didn't bother putting that one in. But if you take something like, let's take something like Yuja Yuja, okay? No, Uja Uja, right? Uja Uja,
You gotta make up your
Uja
mind.
Uja, Uja Uja, yeah. Is it Uja Uja or Yuja Yuja? I think it's
Honestly,
Uja Uja.
I've never heard these.
Well, it means like I don't think Yuja Yuja is a word, so I think it's Uja Uja. And anyway, I promise it's effective. It is. I'm just feeling a bit clueless at the moment. But the
Yeah, it's been a long day.
it has Uja Uja. It's sort of you think you take that ooh, and basically Uja Uja means like in swarms. And I read it in context of a swarm of spiders. And then, so you take the oo, and you take the oo, it kind of like looks like a you, which is maybe why I'm partially misremembering it. And it kind of looks like you, and then you take ja, let's call it sort of sounds like the beginning of Japanese people. You know? And then so you can make a little story saying you Japanese people are then something to do with in swarms. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or like that. And then you can, I don't know, I've done that. I've done that. I mean, I could easily just give you another example if you could wait just 1 minute. But I've just made a whole bunch of examples, and sometimes the stories are better than others. But just to anchor it in my mind, because I was constantly coming up against onomatopoeia, especially in everyday speech. People use onomatopoeia all the time to
Yeah.
describe feelings and things, and it was just getting exhausting because there were so many similar ones and they all sound the same. And so, for instance, you might take a one like gura gura, which means something that is swinging or shaking or in
Okay.
some way, and then gura sort of sounds, if you slow it down, sort of sounds like grab, grab, grab. And then I've written here grab, as that's the gura. So grab on as tight as you can, the boat's swinging and shaking all over the place. you know. So I just create an image of, like, say, a pirate ship which is swinging, and then a pirate is yelling out to another pirate, "Hey, grab on as tight as you can," or something like that, and that helps me to remember it.
So you always create some kind of mnemonic. You have, like, a story.
Well, yeah, I mean, I normally, for these ones I do, yeah, yeah. So, like, you know, sometimes I rely on Japanese words. So, for instance, if I have something like kasa kasa to mean, like, sort of dry, kasa is, it's hard to make an English word with kasa, and so I just use kasa as in umbrella. And then so it says, for instance, why are you using a kasa even though it's totally dry outside, or something like that, you know?
I just imagine, yeah, for that one, like, I imagine, like, someone with some kind of skin disorder or skin disease scratching their arm, and when they scratch their arm, like, I can hear kasa kasa, kasa kasa. Like, I can hear, like, this the skin flaking off.
Well, sometimes they're easier than others. If you take something like doro doro, which is sort of syrupy, yeah, or muddied in some way. Yeah, yeah, like a doro.
Droopy, drippy, whatever.
Yeah, like doro, a bunch doro of glop. Sounds, well, you think of the sound, it almost sounds like dollop. Dollop, you know, like, say, a dollop of syrup, you know? So you need it, and what's a dollop of syrup is, of course, syrupy. And so you've just, you know, that's like a little image that you've got in your mind of, say, like a spoon of syrup or something like that, something which is syrupy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's like I've got some really great ones, which are easy to, really super easy to remember. A lot of my most, a lot of my favorite ones are really rude, so it's kind of hard for me to say them. But, oh, I like this one, for instance. Like, this one's hiku hiku, which means like twitching or shaking, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I'm just imagining hicks, like, you know, it's got, I've written here, those backwards hick zombies, see zombie Bob twitching for brain, you know?
Yeah.
So he's kind of, so zombie Bob is twitching for brain. So it's really easy when you think of a zombie hick, like a hick zombie outside on the lawn twitching for brain, you know? Yeah, like, you're probably not going to forget hick hick now as twitching, maybe. Yeah, anyway, that's just that. That's just the way
really,
that
I haven't really focused that much on onomatopoeia. I probably should.
If you want, I'll just give you my deck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's some of them are specific and some of them are rude, but, you know, I think you can handle it.
Yeah, I might get a little offended, but, you know, I'll try not to get my panties in a bunch.
I think actually that's a great way of thinking of mnemonics, is just to make them interesting to your mind, make them dirty or like sexual or a combination of both, or like, you know, full of swear words or racism or anything else that will like make them memorable. And of course you don't believe any of them,
as offensive as possible.
Yeah, well, just imagine it as crazy as possible. I mean, if you can get a racist elephant in cleaning dishes in the sink and, like, you know, singing a song or something, that's like an image that you're not going to forget, you know? And then you essentially anchor that strange image to a word that you're trying to learn. You know, that's a great way to learn. And I think it takes a bit more time to get to sort of the setup takes longer. But then you only actually have to review the word once or twice, and then you've just, it's just embedded, it's just imprinted in there, because you're using different parts of your brain. You're using the actual part that is just remembering the sounds, then you're using the part that's remembering the image, and it's through combination, you can remember it well. It's also fun to imagine all these strange things.
I'm probably going to change the way I feel about you after seeing that deck, right?
Yeah. Sometimes they're really hard, like, hier bie. I've actually never ever seen that once. I'd never heard of it before then and never heard of it since, which means kind of like there's a lot of words which mean basically to feel cold or fearful, you know, chilly or fearful. They kind of mean both the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Yeah, in this case here, I just imagine like some kind of sexy ice queen, you know, and she's slapping you, and as she's slapping you with her chilly hand, she's saying like, "Yeah." So sometimes they don't make a lot of sense.
This would go through your head every day.
Yeah, well, sweet. It's just nice to see that card, and imagining some sexy ice queen just slapping me in the face, you know, while saying "Yeah."
Okay, we're gonna cut the show here. Thanks for listening, everybody. Catch you next time on Guys Learning.